Thank you. Thank you, Chuck. I also had the same confusion thinking I had met the folks from Unique Venues before, and I think we did it all through pictures and Skype and things like that, so it's really fun to be here. I got here last evening on a Southwest flight. How many people came in on Southwest? Yes. And how many people remember to print their boarding pass early enough to get in a good seat on Southwest? Okay, I did not. I printed my boarding pass, and I was in row B, number 55. So you know where I was sitting, right? Where was I sitting? In the middle. And I got onto the airplane, and of course, you know, you're strategically trying to figure out who are you going to sit in between. And I picked two gentlemen who were not looking at each other, and I thought, I think I can get in here and maybe work on my laptop a little bit. And I sat down. But as the flight started, what I learned was that these two gentlemen were actually attending a bachelor party together. And so the cocktail started flowing, the conversation started flowing, and they said, geez, what are you going to be doing in Vegas? And I said, I'm going to be at a meeting giving a talk to teach people about storytelling. And they looked at me and they said, but geez, don't people already know how to tell stories? And I said, yes, they do. People know how to tell stories. So basically, I have been invited here today to teach you how to do something that you already know how to do. So it's a pretty easy job. And, you know, if only it were that simple, right? Storytelling sounds simple. But when we talk about storytelling and business, sometimes we get very tongue-tied. What are we going to say about our business? How are we going to say it? And it gets even more complicated in today's marketing environment. I love to use this simple Zen story about a man who's riding a horse. And the horse is, you know, galloping off wildly down the road. And he passes a friend of his, and he says, the friend says to him, hey, where are you going? And the man says, I don't know. Ask the horse. I think it's a great metaphor for life. I think it's also a great metaphor for marketing in today's world. And we talked a little bit this morning about some of the challenges you face. But think about today. You have to worry about your website and your Facebook presence, email and ad campaigns, Pinterest, webinars, workshops. How many people can look at this list and say, this is what my marketing to-do list looks like? Yeah? Are these some of the things you're worried about and working on? Well, all of these things that I have just shown here, we would call them marketing strategies. But before we ever develop a marketing strategy, we need first to have a good story to tell. So hence why storytelling really does come before building marketing programs and strategies. I was invited about a couple of months ago by our local community college. I live in near Vail, Colorado, and I was invited by the local community college. They asked me whether I'd be interested in teaching a marketing class for their four-year business degree program. And I said, yeah, I'd be very interested. What class is it? And they said, it is modern marketing. That was the class that they wanted to teach. And then they sent me the course description, and the course description said, you know, students will learn the four P's of marketing. I said, what? Do we still talk about the four P's of marketing? I thought we threw that out with some old business books, because today marketing is very different. This, to me, is what marketing looks like today. Two people having a conversation. And I don't know that as part of their conversation, they're asking, what's the price, the product, the promotion, da-da. I forget what the fourth P is, even. What is it? Right? We just don't talk that way anymore. What we actually do in marketing programs is we have conversations with people. And of course, now when we have conversations with people, they have the opportunity through the internet and online strategies to kind of go viral. But before we can accomplish this in a marketing program, we have to ask, what are we going to talk about? What is that story? That's why this is so, you know, chicken and egg, and really comes before. I'm going to tell you two stories, two business telling stories to give you an example of what I mean. About 15 years ago, I was doing some consulting work for a telecom firm in Washington, D.C. The name of the firm was Concert Communications. They're no longer in business. And I was there for a couple of weeks, and my husband kept asking me, well, what do they do? Concert Communications, what do they do? And I could never quite satisfy him with my answer about what this company did. I said, oh, you know, bandwidth and blah, IT and IB and blah, all sorts of things. He kept saying, but what do they do? And at the time that I was contracted with this firm, we went to the holiday party for this firm. And unbeknownst to me, my husband attended conducting his own little social experiment, if you would. And he, while I was, you know, greeting all of these new colleagues, my husband was running around the room with a cocktail, interviewing them all. And when we got back to the car later that night, he said to me, I want to tell you something. Nobody knows what that company does, because I asked every one of them. So clearly, here's an example of a company that does not have a well-articulated story. Fast forward to yesterday. Yesterday, I had a very last-minute opportunity to fly out to Kansas City and to meet a prospect. And it's a pretty significant project for my firm. And I arrived at the prospect's doorstep, and the reason I even got the meeting and got the invitation was because 2 weeks prior, this company, it's a trucking company in Kansas City, Missouri, had been at a trade show. And at that trade show, they had met another one of our clients. And they said, gee, I really like your stuff. And they got talking about it. And my client began to tell them how we developed the story for their brand. And as a result of that conversation with my client, they invited me to come out and talk to them about providing that same kind of service. So the project was actually sold by my client before I even got there. And that's the kind of market. How would you like it if your venue, raise show of hands here, how many people would like it if their venue was being sold for them by somebody else? Right? Would we not all like it if our brand and our message was so well articulated, our story was told in such a way that actually people had things to talk about and that conversations could take place? So really, I'm here to just not so much teach you, but to remind you that marketing, that branding at its very basic level is nothing more than storytelling, and you already know how to do it. Brands are stories. Brands are stories. But the other piece of it that you need to understand is that you can't make them up. You cannot make a compelling brand up out of thin air. So the challenge for us becomes, well, then how do we start to articulate our own story, a story that is true, a story that fits like a glove, that feels like us, that's meaningful, that gives people things to talk about, that gives us content that can be developed into an integrated marketing program? How many people struggle with content creation here? Sure. It is. It's tough. It's tough to create compelling content. But in order to make that conversation take place, that's really a big call to action here. So we have to shift kind of how we think about branding, about storytelling. When I first got started in marketing a long time ago, the first conference I ever went to was on target marketing. Does anybody remember that term? It was put on by the Direct Mail Association. I heard the comment and the question about direct mail come up this morning. In that type of thinking, which, believe me, we still need to do target marketing. We still need to talk to target audiences. But in that way of thinking, we kind of started by going around and talking to all our target audiences and saying, what do you want? What do you need? And then we would shape our messages and our brands in response to what they wanted and needed. What I'm going to propose that we take a look at today is kind of flipping that paradigm on its head. And I'm not saying don't talk to your target audiences, but what I am saying is let's start by looking at who we are, what we offer, and how we can package that through a story that starts to attract the right people to us. This is the brand paradigm that I'm talking about. I'm going to give you a little illustration. We're going to climb a little mountain here together. And I want you to think about your own brand at the different levels that we're going to take a little climb up a mountain here. At the very bottom, we have something called base camp. That is the category level of your brand. That's the beginning of your story. It is what do you do? If we think about a well-known brand, we might think about Nike, for example, since most people are familiar with it. At a category level, Nike is an athletic wear company. Part of the story, but we need to climb higher. So we move up to this second level, camp, what do I call it? Camp 2, I think. Yes, Camp 2, attributes and features. And here's where we start to refine our message a little bit, and we start to say, what are we good at? What things do we do well, perhaps? What's that list of features we can conjure up about our venue, for example? When we did the program with Unique Venues, we said, hey, what do you offer your members? What are those things, you know? And we have a list of those kinds of things. For Nike, we might think about specific product lines. We might think about specific materials and fabrics that they use in those products. Starts to distinguish their brand from other athletic wear companies, but we want to keep taking this message higher. Camp 3, benefits. I wasn't here yesterday for the sales presentation, but I know a lot of sales presentations really focus on benefits. What do our clients, our customers, our staff, how do they benefit by being part of what we have to offer? That's what we call Camp 3 benefits. You know, for Nike, maybe we would sum it all up in one word. If you wear our shoes, you're going to run faster, scale the walls, make baskets. It's all about performance. And that's part of the Nike message, is about performance. But when we keep climbing higher, we get to, and as you'll notice, we're starting to get more narrowly defined as we climb up this mountain together. We reach a level that we sometimes call personality. Sometimes we call it culture. Sometimes we call it purpose. And we're starting to get into, you know, maybe the touchy-feely aspects of our organization, of our story. A lot of brands never make it this far. For Nike, they've done a really good job over the years at branding to the point where we can see just this one very simple graphic, and what do we think when we see this? Just do it, right? Just do it. Not we sell sneakers, not the sneakers, you know, have this kind of fabric. Just do it. You know, they've risen their brand to a level where they don't even necessarily talk about their products and services anymore. Just do it. This is part of, you know, the passion behind Nike. Ultimately, when we get to the top here of the mountain we've been building, at the summit, this is where we're starting to talk to people in stories, and we're starting to share our organization, our venue, our business's message through stories. You'll notice up here at the top, it's really narrow. It's really pointed. We've gotten to a place of being able to talk about what we do in a succinct and compelling way. And really, the brand story becomes about what is the entire experience of being in our venue? What's the entire experience of doing business with us? For Nike, we talk about that as a hero brand. We talk about their story as a hero brand, and I'm going to comment more on hero later. But what I really want you to hear now is that as you move from the top to the bottom of this mountain, you're really moving from a very logical way of presenting your products and services to a very emotional way of delivering the message about who you are and what you do. I also just want to say that I think that as you hit Camp 4, as you hit this part of the mountain, this is really in branding what separates the boys from the men. You know, there's a little imaginary line there. And underneath that line, down at the bottom, you know, that's the message that is very informationally driven. Once you cross over that line, you start to become more inspirational. Underneath the line, you know, I'm not going to say those are bad websites. You know, if you have your features and your benefits and your logo, those are very efficient websites. But really exceptional messaging kind of draws to that higher level where we can talk about, you know, culture, personality, and what draws people emotionally to us. So just as somewhere we are up to this point, a story. What we want to do in selling and in branding our organization or a venue is we want to tell a story. Why a story? Because we're human and because that's how human beings talk. They don't talk in corporate speak. They talk in ways that are memorable. They talk in ways that are easily repeated to other people. Stories give us meaning. They give us symbolism. They give us things to connect to. I'm going to tell you a couple of stories that I've heard from clients over the years in going through branding projects. We had a client in the Vail area, a company by the name of DSC, which was short for Destination Services Corporation. And they were going through a branding exercise because after 20 years, their old messages no longer really told the story of who they were. And they told a story during one of our brand conversations. I said, well, what's it like to work here? And they said, you know, gosh, there was this one time, they were an event planner. And they said, there was this big event going on at Beaver Creek Mountain. And, you know, the lights were, the sun was setting, and we were going to have somebody skiing down with torches and fireworks and all sorts of things. And the event was about to take off, and somehow some message had to get to the people at the top of the mountain, like, the fireworks aren't here yet, or something really critical like that. And so the woman's telling the story. She said, well, geez, I ran up the mountain in high heels to get the message to the top that, hey, the fireworks aren't here yet, don't start. So this whole idea of running up the hill in high heels became part of what we looked at from a branding standpoint. How does this company do business, right? You know, that's what part of the expectation was, is that the employee would do whatever it took to get that event to go off without a hitch. Another story I could share, we're working with a truck line. I've mentioned truck lines. We have a couple trucking clients. And, you know, you might think in trucking, what do you think about? You think about steel, you think about big equipment, you think about truck drivers. We went through a branding exercise with this trucking firm, and what we found when we had conversations with the people who worked there, what is it like to work here, what we learned is that the CEO and president of the company had actually started his career as a truck driver. He was, in fact, one of the first truck drivers hired at that company, and in 25 years, he had elevated himself to CEO. And so we looked at that transition. What is, you know, this is a way this company maybe related to people, and it was part of a story that was starting to unfold as we understood those things. We worked with a charter school in the Vail area that there were a group of very disgruntled parents who had left the public school system and started their own charter school. And now all of a sudden they figured out that education wasn't as easy as they thought it was going to be, and they started to put together their own curriculum and look at how can we educate kids in a way that's different, in a way that's more challenging, in a way that gets the job done at a different level. You know, so when you think about telling your story and these examples that I'm sharing, what I want you to think about is literally, like, what happens in your venue day in, day out, week to week? And to think about how are those things potentially part of your experience and part of the way you might sell the venue that you have. So I'm going to stop here, and I'm going to ask for you to take a moment and think about stories that have happened at your venue. And what I'd like to ask is that everybody find someone else to partner with. And for just 5 minutes here, I want you to think about some interesting stories that come from your own experience in working at the organization where you work. Everybody understand? Questions on that? Okay, let's take 5 minutes. 5 minutes, maybe not even, if you're really quick. And I am going to ask for some people to get up and volunteer to share their story, okay? Something that happened at your venue that was memorable. Some story from something at your venue that was memorable.